Speed, Mr. Sulu.
Oh,
ladies
sniper.
And gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. We're coming to you live from a location at the Hilton in the Great State of Connecticut, in the bathroom, from a hockey tournament, as usual, to you. It's our family, the 1973 podcast, and we're going to roll. But first, I have to introduce somebody new to the show, friend of the show, hopefully. Hopefully he watches, bring him on. Time for football. We're going to bring some new people. Shaggy, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Ready to go, I can tell already.
How come I'm doing with drinking? What's going on?
You're the only one with a problem.
It's not a problem.
So, with that being said, let's start off with something that we've kind of switched around the format a little bit. So let's go to the professor and bring us to one of our favorite segments, Cooking with Chris. Not here again. Bradford couldn't make the call, but take us away.
First of all, is it any coincidence that since we started this Cooking with Chris segment, he never shows up anymore? Is he big-timing us?
Yeah. Holding out for more money and won't even buy a t-shirt for himself.
All right, I'm still a hype man, so here we go.
He wants 50% of nothing.
Yes. Cooking with Chris is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love written by our very own Andy Clark, available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier at 21 years old when he passed away.
So we'll drop that in right around, All right, so let's get rolling. Let's talk about a passing in the wrestling world. The other half of the Wild Samoans, the original one, Alpha. It's just sad that within a certain maybe month and a half, the two of them passed at the same, kind of point in time. Wild Samoans, one of a kind, probably the first of their kind to kind of work that Samoan gimmick. Great story about the Samoans. I didn't get to talk about it when Sika passed away. But so when they were younger, before they got in the business, they lived in San Francisco. And I guess the two of them were really big wrestling fans back when kayfabe was kayfabe. They used to go to the Cow Palace every, say they came in the loop every month there or whatever. And they used to sit in the aisleway where the wrestlers would come out. So they would harass the heels like they were actual heels. Like they would stand up for the heroes and whatever, and like harass the heels. They got to the point that they were almost coming over the railing to get the heels, that to prevent them from killing somebody, they said, we got to smarten these guys up and get them in the business somehow. So that's how the Samoans actually got into the wrestling business, the two brothers. Sure. They were wrestling fans when wrestling was, smoke-filled arenas and barely on TV. And they used to go to the matches as, young teenagers into their teenage years. And they were already bigger than some of the guys that they were harassing. And they would get so heated up because they believed it so much that they thought that they were actually going to eventually strangle somebody. So they had to smarten them up and bring them into the business. So great Offer and Seeker story. I thought I'd start with that. Tom, you want to add anything to the Wild Samoans?
Well, first of all, the Grim Reaper struck again because I believe you have a picture taken with him. So your record is undefeated right now. Yeah. But there's a few things. When I was looking this up when he passed, that I didn't realize he was trained by Rocky Johnson and High Chief Peter Maivia. And the other thing I didn't realize is that when they won their first tag team title as the Wild Samoans in 1980, I didn't realize they beat Ivan Putski and Tito Santana. So that was something that surprised me. But the thing that really shocked me is he wrestled his last match in 2014. So he was 70 years old when he wrestled. I mean, that's pretty damn good. I'm impressed. I mean, I'm 51 and I have a hard time walking up and downstairs sometimes with my knee.
I'm going to ask Shaggy real quick. Thoughts on both of the Wild Samoans now that they're both.
I just remember as a kid, them and Captain Lou just scaring the hell out of me watching their promos and stuff. Like those crazy eyes and just the stuff that came out of them. Like I just remember being scared as hell from those guys.
Yeah. Captain Lou was the perfect manager for, for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the Phantom, Wild Samoans from when we were kids. Thoughts on the passing of the two of them now that they're both gone?
I just think it's so freaky that they both that they died so close in weeks. It was when I actually saw the thing with Apple, I thought it was like I thought I was on like just a repeat of the Seeker thing, and then when I dialed it in a little bit, I'm like, oh shit, he died too. I'm like, that's pretty crazy. Now was he like was he already sick and Seeker just died suddenly, or they didn't really get into it too much, but when they were kind of showing some like later years of like off his life towards the end, he didn't really look super, super healthy, whereas Seeker always kind of, looked more healthy than he did anyways. But I don't know if there was anything into that, like maybe that Seeker had died suddenly and Alpha was already sick.
I don't know. He had two heart attacks back in January.
Oh, really? Okay.
He did. And he recently had surgery, I think, to repair maybe something that was blocked with his heart or whatever. And you know, sometimes that stuff is what it is. Even going back to the Kevin Sullivan thing, he got in that car accident that they kind of kept quiet a little bit, that not a lot of people knew about. And he had to have surgery from it. I guess he got staph infection maybe from it. And it's coming out a little bit more and more. And that's kind of what got him. It wasn't the accident. It was the staph infection from the surgery. So sad to see all these guys going it from an era that'll wrestling will never ever be like that, where the characters were all huge, larger than life, and they were built like guys that couldn't work a 9-to-5 job. You know, they weren't pumping gas at your local mobile, let's just say. Want to mention on our Facebook page, we had our first kind of celebrity follow run that he had from like I don't know 80. 89 was fantastic. They'll never be something that dark like that. I mean, you see it with the Wyatt family. It's not even close to what it was to the way it was. But in the whole Rogues gallery of guys that he had come through that, and Luna Vachon was one of them, where they shaved her head for the first time. He smacked her on live TV. You know, it just things that they'll never do anymore. But let's. Tom, what do you think? You want to move on, start talking some shitty picks and some sports and see what we got in the tank?
Does Ed have anything? I don't know if we talked to Ed about Alpha. Does he have
Ed Alpha before we move on?
Well, I'd have to say I didn't realize it until I totally forgot about it. I mean, Shaggy mentioned it, but when I was doing a little research, I totally forgot about Captain Lou being their manager. So I totally forgot all about that. And I believe that they had a title run. They held the most tag team titles, I think, in probably like a 15-year history going through all the organizations that they wrestled in. So, you know, like we talked about when Seeker passed away, just crazy eyes, and they really lived the gimmick, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because you look at, you know, their gimmick and when everything was kayfabe and whatever, but behind the scenes, most of the guys that play the heels are some of the nicest guys going. They were, all about the giving back to the wrestling family and, you know, turning out more Samoans that you see now with how the bloodline is. So, I mean, if you want to call those guys part of the original head of the table with Peter Maivia, that's probably where it all started with those guys. So we have Roman Reigns because of Seeker and all the other guys that have come through, whether it's
was it in my idea, or is it like no, or was it they trained by him, or were they like related to him?
Well, Peter Maivia was the first real big Hawaiian star that left Hawaii and kind of poured, had really good runs with WWE or WWF at the time. Right. And he was on top of it, and then he had his own territory in Hawaii after they kind of touch on it in that Young Rock show. It's a little bit a little far-fetched with the timeline and the things that were going on. I mean, Randy Savage wasn't Randy Savage in 1982 in Hawaii.
Right.
But,
you know, right.
So they take some liberties with the story, but yeah, just the Samoan dynasty is still strong and getting stronger. As if you're still watching, it's real strong right now, though. I will say that. Ed, anything else you want to add?
No, I thought it was really cool there. I didn't realize that he had set up a scholarship foundation as well. And I thought, you know, that kind of ties in with what you said about how, you know, a lot of the guys that played the villains or the heels, they always seem to give back and give a lot more back, you know, and they don't talk about it, but they really do see that they do seem to really try to give back to their community, you know?
Yeah. And a true brother connection with those two. They, you know, right till the end. So, Thomas, time to switch over and start talking some what you like, fantasy sports, and some foosball. Take it away.
Well, it's time to embrace the suck this week. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, their seltzers, vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
I did.
I was going to say, somebody did go by. Did you tell them that 73 podcast sent you?
I did. That was the first thing I said. He's not laughing.
Did Kennedy outdrink Carter?
Hey, you know what's funny? They were trying to get Scotty to give him booze at the place.
There you go.
Let me just promote Scotty's spot. If you're ever there, the restaurant is really kick-ass. I thought the food was really good. I'm not self-promoting because he's my buddy, but I thought the food was really, really good. And I thought the location was cool. I thought the whole setup was cool. So if you get a chance to go check it out, definitely go check it out. It's definitely a good time.
All right. Well, this past week, I let my heart pick over my head. I picked Freddie Freeman because of the whole story with his son being sick. It hasn't worked out totally yet. He's playing decent, but he didn't have the huge week I thought he'd have so far. He's got the rest of tonight's game and tomorrow's game, but he's 9 for 25 so far this week. Two runs scored, zero RBIs, and 12 points. So this week coming up, the week of the 19th through the 25th, I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I'm taking a pitcher from the Arizona Diamondbacks, Brandon Pfaadt. He's got two starts this week. So far this year, he's only 7-6, but his ERA is dropping. He's 3.98, and his last two starts, he's been lights out. His two starts this week, one is against the Marlins in Miami, and the second one is against the Red Sox at home. And the Red Sox, for whatever reason, they're a completely different team at home. They're like four games under 500, I believe, on the year. So I'm going to go with Brandon Pfaadt to have a big week.
All right, Tom. So here's what we brought Shaggy on for.
Uh-oh.
Time to talk some foosball. Take it away.
Well, the first story is the huge story, and we had a big discussion about this on the thread that we had, the text thread, but the Patriots traded Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third-round pick. I want to know what y'all think. Shaggy?
Oh, yeah, I would say, I mean, I think he opened his mouth too much, and they just kind of did the usual thing, like, all right, you want to talk too much? We're just going to get rid of you. Just like they used to. But, I mean, it looks like the defense is doing okay now, but I'm feeling halfway through the year, you're going to be missing him.
Ed?
Well, I mean, I think I would agree with Shaggy on that one. But I also think, too, is I think that they got a little, it was a little light on what they got for him. I kind of felt that they could have gotten at least a second and a third for him. I mean, if you look at his stats and on what he did when he played, you know, and I mean, you can always throw in there, you know, he turned 32, he's getting older, you know, he only played four games last year. I mean, like a torn bicep, that's different than, like, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. We actually have an athletic trainer on with us, you know, and Shaggy could speak on the rehab would be a little bit different, you know, with a torn bicep versus, like, you know, a blown out ACL or something that, you know, like a knee or a hip or something right. else like that.
I mean, but it's also what they're just letting the media talk, tell you. Like, you know, who knows what else is going on with them too. They're not going to let you know.
Sure, absolutely. And I mean, and the thing about it is just like, you know, Atlanta looks like that they're trying to build some sort of a contender in like, you know, basically 1 or 2 years or go to the Super Bowl and try to win or bust. But I was a little disappointed on what the Patriots received, you know, because a lot of times when those deals go through, they, you know, there's already kind of a gentleman's agreement that he's going to re-sign there. So, you know, to not get a 2 and a 3 for him, I thought that they could have done a little bit more. And to agree with Shaggy's point, they're going to miss him this year. He's a stud, and it's sad to see him leave.
Well, see, on the other hand, though, like if they since they didn't re-sign him, like you thought you were going to re-sign him, like maybe there's something they're not discussing that, you know, being Atlanta, maybe they'll just fall apart like usual. They'll be injured again.
Says the man that used to have the Atlanta Falcons star jacket.
Damn right, baby. Dirty birdie.
Now, I think they get a little bit limited on who they could use as a trading partner because it has to do with the money. So it's like, first off, they have to find somebody that can fit him into the cap and somebody that's willing to pay him what he's looking to get. So if you go to the dance, but you only got one person to dance with, you're just gonna take whatever they're willing to offer you because he's gonna walk for nothing.
I agree.
Yep.
And it was kind of funny. A lot of the stuff that I was looking at too, they were saying that they thought that the Patriots actually did well. So I don't know if that us bitching about the return is more of like a hometown thing where, you know, people out of our market think that maybe they gave too much for him.
I think another key with the trade reason could be a reason why they traded him was he showed the team up. He showed the new GM and the new head coach up by walking out in camp. And I think maybe they were trying to send a message that they weren't pushovers.
Exactly.
I think when you first take over, you can't have any cancers in the room going against what you're saying. So it's you just got to get rid of them. You got to set that precedent going forward because if not, you're gonna have bigger problems down the road.
Too early ruffling the feathers.
For sure,
I agree.
Especially coming up from Belichick.
We have a couple different guys this week, so I want to ask the question I asked last week, especially because the Phantom is Cowboys fan. What is your take on the whole CeeDee Lamb holdout and the Jerry Jones comment? So what do you think is going to happen? Because there are now rumors online about a couple possible trade scenarios. One has him going to Buffalo. They had one. I don't see the Patriots doing it, but they had the Patriots. I can't see the Patriots doing it right now.
Yeah, you know me, Tom. I seem to lean on the way of the players because, he plays, gets hurt. He's never going to see that big money. And Jerry's got plenty of it, and they know that he's got plenty of it. The Cowboys just got evaluated as, like, the richest franchise in all sports anywhere. So these guys, they don't owe anything to the team. If you're to the point where you're now considered maybe the number one receiver in the whole league and all you got is that to stand on, you got a whatever. They could cut you tomorrow if you sign the money. So when you're worth something, you're not going to play until you get what you're worth. I kind of look at it almost like we would at work, you know what I mean? If they give you a certain amount of money, all right, you're going to take it. But if all of a sudden doing the exact same job, you can get double, you're going to hold out for your double. So I don't know. I don't fault them for it.
I think
they're just cattle.
Exactly. It's cattle.
Yeah. The thing that's scary about it is that you got Lamb, Dak, Lawrence, Parson, I think there was even it might have even been Martin. After this year, they're all free agents, so I'd say probably maybe only two of them are going to get paid. So I'm just curious to see who it ends up being.
What's scary is we're still talking about the Cowboys.
Ooh, you should talk more about the Cowboys.
Shots fired. Love it. Love it.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about is there's been a couple of fairly big injuries this past week in football. J.J. McCarthy tore his meniscus. He's out for the season. And talk about torn biceps. The starting linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, Matt Milano tore his bicep and he's going to be out for this up until December. So I want to ask you guys, is it because what's the reason? Do you think that any possibility that has anything to do with one less game and so a little bit less practice? What do you attribute it to? Bad luck.
Yeah. I mean, got to practice to play. So, you know, it is what it is. Happens.
So he tore his meniscus. He's out for the season?
Yeah. He had surgery. He's already had surgery. He's out for the season.
They put him on IR.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he's out for the season. I know his meniscus. I thought it was something bigger than that. I think meniscus, you're going to be like a few weeks, maybe a month or so. And
I think their master plan was for him not to play this year. So I don't think they want to fuck around with it. I think they're just trying to play it safe with him.
Gotcha.
He wasn't going to see the field anyways. I mean, it's going to hurt him practice-wise, because I think once you go on that IR, I don't think you're even allowed to practice. So, essentially, he's losing a year here.
What do you think, Ed?
I mean, I'm going to have to agree. I mean, it's just bad luck. I mean, a torn bicep, I mean, what that is like you're just getting your arm out. I mean, a running back runs through, it's going to tear. And that happens. And I mean, the thing about it is that these guys are, let's just say, enhanced to the gills. So, you know, going back to, intro to athletic training, I mean, a lot of times when ligaments and tendons tear, you know, you tear something off the bone, that means you've been on something, allegedly. So it's kind of one of those things. I mean, that's what happens. I think it's a bigger issue, quite frankly. I think it really comes down to this, is that these guys are not hitting enough, and because of the current CBA, and I think a lot of these injuries, when they get up to full speed, that's when a lot of these injuries happen, and they're not getting reps in practice to kind of condition the body for that type of impact. Now, I mean, bad luck, you know, you can tear a meniscus going down the stairs, you can tear a bicep doing anything, but I'm just saying, it's just that those are kind of like, those are bad luck injuries. But like some of the other stuff, it really is a conditioning the body. So that I have a problem with that they've taken all that physical practice out.
I think these guys are too strong for their own ligaments. I think they're so strong, and then the structure of your body can't even can't withstand your own muscle. You got a high powered engine inside on a small frame, you know.
As I actually look at the other way, kind of like how they always talk about all these running backs back in the day who were like ran so many yards in the college and then they get the pros and they're falling apart. Like, I don't think they need to hit more. I think they do need to do what they're doing. But I mean, I just think it's rotten luck. Like, yeah, it happens. Like you said, you extend your arm, boom, you blew your bicep out. Like, all right, bad form.
Yeah.
All right. Switching gears here a little bit. I've been dying to go into college football. I want to know what everyone thinks about the new 12-team playoff format they're going with this year. Is the first five are going to be conference champs. They're going to be ranked, whichever ones are ranked highest by the CFP selection committee. And then it's going to be the next seven highest ranked teams. The four highest ranked conference champs will be seeded 1 through 4, and they get a bye week, the first week of the playoffs. And then, they're rotating the sites, so every year the quarterfinals and semifinals games will rotate, and it's going to be between the Cotton Bowl, Fiesta, Orange, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. Most games are going to be on ESPN ABC, but some weird thing, they're going to have one game in the first round on TNT. So what do you guys think of the new format?
Can I weigh in first?
Get in there, killer. Get in there.
Listen, I think, back when I watched a lot of football, I always thought that that's where the NCAA was dropping the ball, especially where all the other big major college sports have a playoff format. You're not dealing with brain surgeons when it comes to the sports fan, so why do you have to make it complicated for them to follow? So I'm for it. Whatever playoff format they finally came up with, I'm for it.
I agree. Like, I mean, I'm not a Florida State fan, but they got robbed last year.
Ed?
Oh, I love it, man. I think it's great. This is, and I'm going to piggyback on what Andy said. I mean, this has been a long time coming. They finally have it right. They finally got Like, and now with the NIL, where everybody's getting paid like they're supposed to, like, you know, not just like the envelopes full of money, you know, just reference, go watch the movie, The Program. It did happen. It does happen. So to see, you know, the first four teams get a bye, and then, you know, basically everybody, and they don't reseed them after the first round, which is great. I think that that really works really well, and I think that it's really a good thing. And, you know, I think that at a certain point, these college kids are going to be playing a professional schedule. I mean they're going to be playing, you know, 15, 16 games, you know, anyway. So why not take care of them?
Phantom?
I was going to say, the thing that's great about it, too, is now they're going to that first round, I know that the top four teams have to bye, but you're going to have actually, like, college football games, home games. So, like, you get a college game in, like, the Big House or Penn State or somewhere like that, it's going to be fucking wild. Those crowds are going to be sick. Playoff atmosphere, the atmosphere, I don't think you can get any higher just in the regular season games or big, you know, highly ranked games. Now you get a playoff game at home. That's good stuff. And then to piggyback off of that, you move on to the next round. You've been having all these bowl games where the guys are bowing out because they don't want to get hurt before they go to the NFL. Now they're playoff games. Now all these bowls that used to matter when we were kids, they're all back on board. So it's this whole college bowl season is all going to be top notch games. You're not just going to have teams getting in because we're going to throw Notre Dame in this because, you know, people are watching, even though they probably have a good team this year anyways. But no, it's good. I don't think there's any. You can't really. I guess the only fault that you got on it is if your team is in the top two teams in the old days, you would just play for the national championship. Now you never know. You might be the number one seed, and now you got to win a couple of games to win the whole thing, and you get a little bad luck and drop one to somebody. You might have had a national championship, and you're gonna walk away with nothing.
Yeah, now you gotta earn it.
Yeah.
See,
something? When they only had two teams, the third team bitched that they didn't get in, they should have been in. Then they went to four, and the five teams are getting fucked. So they're going to do 12, guess what? 13 and 14 is going to say we're better than the team that won Division 5. So it's that a boy. But, yeah, no, it's good. I don't think I've heard anybody complain about it. It's a win-win for everybody.
No. My only complaint is I'm an Oklahoma fan. I think this year they're in the SEC. They're not going to sniff the playoff for 2 or 3 years until they can change their roster round and deal with that SEC speed, because they're not going to be able to contend right now. But it should be interesting, because you're already starting to see, like, I know Nick Saban had predicted Texas. He actually picked Texas to win the SEC. Well, Texas' starting running back just got hurt and he's out for the season. So it should be interesting to see granted, those teams usually are loaded where they have like some five-star sitting there.
All that means is that somebody else is going to step up and be just as good as him.
I can't wait for college football. Actually, I think it's like maybe less than 10 days. I think the first game of the season, I actually think it's Florida State is playing game. Yeah, can't wait. All right, AC.
Tom, you want to before we move on from talking any football, we got isn't it preseason tomorrow on Sunday, or anything you want to mention about that?
Not really, except for fantasy football is coming up, so maybe next week my sucky picks, I might be going through like top 10 quarterbacks, top 10 running backs. And I mean, I know the Phantom in a couple pools with him. So I know he needs the help. So hey, I figured I'd help him out.
Flap your gum so I know not who not to take.
All I got to say is
the mush.
Oh, man. Is that the team I drafted for you?
Nah, no.
Jay, what did you have to say?
Ed, you want to hear a great story, Ed?
I'd love to.
We had a fantasy draft like 2 or 3 years ago. So last minute, Tom had to bring your cat to emergency.
Yeah, the vet and
stuff. Yeah. So he couldn't make the draft. So he's all worried about it. I'm like, dude, I'll just draft your team. So we go through the thing. I draft my team. I draft Tom's team. Guess who played in the championship? Me and Thomas. Guess who won?
Thomas.
Don't you get half the purse on that?
He tried to give it to me. I didn't take it. It is what it is.
Speaking of that, before we move on from the football, Gotti gave me $20 to give to the Phantom for the hockey pool. So next time I sit there, I'll just Venmo your money or whatever. So I got $20 from Gotti to give you.
Is that Canadian though? Is that only gonna be $7 and 16 cents?
Actually, he said he got a nice 20 just in American for you.
Ooh.
Shaggy, you wanted to say something about the football before we move on?
No, I think we covered it. I was saying, like, I'm excited for the playoff system. It's going to be great. Definitely, teams that, didn't have a chance last year will be in it, so it'll be awesome.
Ed, anything else before we move away from the football?
No, I just can't wait for football season to start and watch, like, actually have some real games for a change. I guess I do have a question for Mike and for Ryan and for Tom. I'll ask you too, Eddie. What do you think about this new whole kickoff thing?
I love it.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. I kind of like it.
I guess
it's going to change. It's going to change the field position big time. So
yeah,
up to scoring.
Yeah, more fun to watch. Yeah. And then, you don't get these guys.
Oh, Christ, my pyramid fell. You don't get these guys risking their lives, going 8 miles an hour from 60 yards away and stuff, too. So,
yeah. I mean, does it have anything to do with all the mega betting nights going on? Is that something that'll work in their favor? I don't know.
I think they're trying to get away from the teams just kicking the ball like straight through the right end zone. And you start off, I thought they were going to just get rid of the kicking all together and just stop from a 25 all the time.
Yeah. Just trying to get away from all those freaking touchbacks. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Great. Thomas? Football talk closed or got anything else?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, so we'll hop into the emails. So, Ed, take it away.
All right. Give me a second here. Let me dial it up. Let's see. So, here we go. This is emails are brought to you by Goonguard, goonguard.com. Check them out. Best mouthpieces ever. Check it out. I have the packaging this week because the man that normally shows the packaging, he's in the toilet. So anyway.
The only packaging I have is this thing of Scott's over here from the bathroom.
All right. So this is I'm going to throw this out to you guys first, and I'm just going to say, so pre-podcasting host, 1973 podcast. Who would have been the best podcast host before the age of the internet and podcast? This is from Joel, the sports reporter from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, in Canada. I'm gonna kick it to Tom first.
All right, but Tom. So just think about this question: before the internet, before the age of podcasting, so for a timeline like pre-1998, who would have been a great podcasting host? Like that would have blown up a podcast like Joe Rogan style. So, thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, thanks, Joel, for the question. Now, my answer, I'm going to give my answer. He would have been canceled in this day and age. I think he could back then, he would have been like Howard Stern or Joe Rogan, but I'm going with Howard Cosell. I think he just, his personality and some of his takes. I had another answer, but I'm going to save it because I think I have a feeling somebody else is going to take it. So this is my second answer, but I think Howard Cosell with his personality and some of his off the wall takes, I think it would have been a good listen.
What do you think, Shaggy?
For me, I was going to go with Rowdy Roddy Piper. The stories that he has now, if you had made those podcasts, would be legendary.
Pretty cool. Phantom, what do you got?
I was kind of thinking about running with it with the wrestling myself. I'd go Bobby the Brain Heenan. I think he was always super entertaining, always had an opinion. Probably going to be one of my all-time favorites when it comes to wisecracks and just being a funny bastard. So I'll go with the Brain.
That was my backup pick.
Nice.
I thought for my pick, I kind of had like three that came to mind right away. Like I love Don Rickles. I thought Don Rickles would have been great. Kind of going like, you know, how Joey Diaz is so popular with his comedy and Theo Vaughn. I think Don Rickles with no filter and having different people on. I think he would have been really good. I thought Rodney would be good too. Rodney Dangerfield, he would have been really good with a podcast. And maybe from a sports perspective, just because of how he was, maybe Muhammad Ali for a podcast. You know, he could have been pretty good, you know, just with his personality and how he was. That's.
I mean, he was kind of messed up in 98, so I don't know about that.
My other pick was Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
That's comedy gold right there.
Yeah. He's, stand him. I kind of ruled out Ryan Mike because he was kind of doing all kinds of podcasts and as like a guest. So I was trying to
keep
it before there. So, Ed, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Johnny Most, the voice of the Celtics, old school. Just, I mean, because you want to talk about like the ultimate Homer, like play-by-play guy, that was him. And but the way that he called the game was great. I mean, if you go back and you listen to some of that old sound bites, man, he really, like, he just really did a great job. And Andy, you took it. I mean, my number one was Muhammad Ali. I just thought that he would have just done such a great job just because of his personality, his political views. And unfortunately, you know, he's, you know, at the end, I mean, he was just a shell of himself. So it's just, those were my two.
I think if you go back and you look at like the old Tonight shows with Johnny Carson, the people that he had on that would like backfill for him, Joan Rivers would have been great with a podcast. You know, she was very, you got to look at people that they have very little filter and they're not going to conform to a, I'm just trying to be a commercial success. So somebody like Joan Rivers, I mean, look how, I mean, I don't watch her podcast, but Roseanne Barr's pretty opinionated with her opinions on things. And so you got to look at, I think what draws people in is having that that mass appeal for your name, but where you're not going to conform to the rules, like, you know, like Roddy Piper or somebody like Don Rickles, things like that, you know, where you can't tell them that it's scripted and you just kind of, they can conform to every guest that they have on and tell funny stories, you know. So I think that's kind of what makes a good host. And late night TV is kind of tough too back in the day because they had so many commercial sponsorships that they had to kind of, you know, toe that line a little bit with. I mean, Burt Reynolds would have been a great podcast host. He was pretty opinionated and funny too. Don DeLuise and him on a podcast, that would have been great to see back in the
day. I think like some of the old like original radio shows were kind of, you know, the setup for the podcast system, but I guess without having the FCC and all that stopping you from saying what you want to say how you want to say it, I should say.
Obie and Anthony back in the day before they got, you know, kind of locked down, they were pretty funny with their shtick. So
the one that got them fired off the air when they said that Mumbles Menino died.
That's right.
I mean, they got fired for that.
April Fool's, for the St. Patrick's Day church thing.
Yeah.
That, and they don't talk anymore. Which is.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Kind of sad in a way that they don't, all that history as a team, and, you know, kind of, I guess, it's over money or things like that, or one blames the other one for, you know, certain things and whatever, you know, that works. It's like a band. Professor?
I can say I'm surprised no one picked Don Cherry. I thought for sure one of you guys would pick him.
Are you thinking him?
That was my pick, but I didn't take him because I left him up there for somebody to cherry pick. But
I didn't think
after, him. After he got fired, he actually started a podcast with his son or daughter.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And
then got canceled again.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. You mentioned Burt Reynolds.
We want the 80s
version. Talking about fucking Cannonball Run. I mean, all the fucking bloopers at the end.
Even like, if you want to go way back, and if they had a panel on a podcast of like the Rat Pack guys, just with their shtick with no filter.
I mean,
just those guys drinking and talking about, you know, womanizing and all that stuff back in the day.
It was no time.
No, yeah. I mean, just think about, you know, the dynamic of that crew with Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin, and there was somebody else in it, but you know, Frank Sinatra. Right. Yeah.
And then the other guy, the one that was banging Kennedy's.
Yeah. His name escapes me.
Lawford. Peter Lawford.
That's it, Peter Lawford.
I got you.
Yeah. So, I mean, a great. I thought that question was really good.
Yeah, to ask different. That'll make you think.
Yeah. So
that's one's after the fact. We'll be coming up with all kinds of guys going, oh, shit.
Real deep. My next podcast will be Jesus Christ. I want to hear his shit.
So if people want to comment on who they think great podcasting hosts would have been pre-internet, feel free to comment on that. That's usually how the kids do it, right? Something like that.
I don't know.
I ignore
them. I don't know, man. I'm not a kid, so I don't know.
Well, they say you're supposed to say like, subscribe, all that stuff. If you like us, you like us. If you don't, you know, we're working on it.
And even the people that say that they don't like us, they really like us. So, you know.
This is true. And you got to buy a shirt, right, Ed?
Well, yeah. They got to buy a shirt. They got to buy like a mug. I mean, who doesn't drink coffee? I mean, you got to, like, you still don't drink coffee? Really?
No.
You got a beer koozie?
Yeah, right here.
So, Thomas, I guess it's a real quick podcast this week. Going, you know, on remote location from the bathroom at the Hilton. Just time for some shout outs and we'll wrap it up. So, yep. We'll start with Ed. Ed, what do you got this week?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Mike. Shaggy, thank you for coming on, man. It's great to see you. It's wonderful to have you on. We'll definitely have you on again. And check out Cape Cod Tunnel Permits. Check them out. They're online. I got nothing to do with it. I don't. But thank you all for listening. Thanks. And we'd also like to thank Adele for coming on last week. It was a great interview. Also, Joe Lyons, also known as Snoyle. Congratulations on the store. Awesome stuff.
Hi, Joe.
Friends of the show.
Friend of the show. There you go. Friend of the show.
Phantom, what do you got this week for a shout out?
I'm going to shout out Brad. He's taking one for the team for his family. He's stuck at a shower. So have fun, Brad.
Shaggy. Here's your moment. You want to shout out to everybody at work, all the guys out at work.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. The hell of people at work.
That's great.
I hope I didn't screw it up too much.
We've been able getting you on, and I told Ed when football season starts, we'll bring in some people that are heavies with the football. Give me a break from all the stuff that I do with the, you know, in between stuff and in between time stuff. So it's nice having you on. It'll definitely be on again.
We've had tours of toy stores, and today we got a tour of your house.
Yeah, oh yeah, so yeah. We got a lot of drunk people running around, so I'm trying to hide the corner.
Professor, what do you got for a shout out?
Well, I've got two. First, I want to wish a happy birthday to a friend of Kelly and mine, Mark Bell. Happy birthday. He's out in Oklahoma. So Boomer Sooner. And second, friend of the podcast, Darren, I want to give him a shout out and say good job. He's still promoting kidney disease on dialysis and the benefits of dialysis. And he, I believe this past week he spoke virtually to some doctors in New York City. He's already done it and spoke to some state reps in Massachusetts about it. So he's on to bigger and better things. So congratulations, Darren. Keep on rocking.
Fan number one on the fan club list.
One of one.
I don't know. If you read the comments, it's kind of growing a little bit. I don't know. If you read the comments, there's people that follow all the time. They just, you know, don't want to admit it. But there's people. I'd like to close out the show by mentioning Brad. Now, Brad got in contact with me, and I wanted to mention that his father passed away recently, and I just wanted to say from everybody on the podcast, you know, we're with you, Brad, and we'll hope to have you back on soon, and we're thinking of you. So I want to close out the show with a shout-out to Brad from everybody, and, you know, we're right there, so we'll see everybody next week.
I feel like a piece of shit for busting his chops.